So, number one and most abundant are the regular lads, most of whom proudly announce themselves as dads and have photos of their little sweet Maisie in their wallets, which they flash shamelessly as they take out their Visa debit to pay for your last naked, wet 20 minutes. They're there with their friends. They'll claim, "Our wives know it's the thing to do on a night out. I mean, Christ, they got into the trend of pole dancing classes, so they can't exactly whip our asses for enjoying the expertise of a proper striptease. Can they, darling?" Course not. But bloody hell, it is a shame about the price. Any chance of a 2-for-1? Nobs. Worth avoiding at most costs. The number two type. This is the secretive, filthy rich, tailored suit executive, the lucrative customer, the one all the girls crave will save them from this doldrums life of doll dressing up and whisk them off to Saint-Tropez to stay in his mansion. Or at least buy them a Gucci bag. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. That's how he maintains his buzz. Unpredictability. Mystery. The bulge in his pocket. Wads of 50s are evidence of over-average virility. Who can say? Except for the girl he chooses for his sit-down. His hour of private whore, of private dance and private talk, of wanting more but not getting it because that's what he came here and not a brothel for, he reminds her, after she asks him if he wants extra service later on. "Don't get me wrong," he'll smoothly say. "I find you terribly attractive. I just like to give." Winks, sinks a few red notes into the rubber grip top of Nail Nick's stockings and sits back. Never mistaken, never taken for a ride or a fool, never drooling onto suit lapels or incapable of making his own way up the stairs. Likes to appear to care, just enough to make us appear to care back. Lacks patronising tones, has enough phone numbers to give you one which won't get him into trouble, and lives in a world so removed from the real one that you actually, for that hour, make a perfect couple in a perfect bubble. The third type, the in-betweeners, the squeamish, "Oh, I don't really want to be here as..." The, "I don't know, I've got a great girl at home" ones, who try to relax by preferring to just have a chat and ask about your life story like it's as interesting as the 10 girls have gone before, and then, just as your 5 minutes no dancing time, breach of which incurs a 50 quid fine, is up, he drops his business card on the floor, says, you should call me, I'd really like to know more. If you give me your number, I'll definitely think about buying a dance a little later on when I've, you know, had a bit longer to feel more comfortable. Take the card, fake a smile. A pass number left and a very real "fuck you, mate," said under your breath.
Thank you very much. That was Sabrina Matthews reading from Dry Ice, which is it's your play. It's coming It's coming to us soon. Can you tell us any more about it?
Dry Ice is my first solo show. So it's kind of like you just heard my usual style of poetry, but put together in a play format, so it's almost an hour following this character Nina, who's a stripper, and various people in her life, her boyfriend, people she goes to dinner with, people at her work. So there's 18 characters all together, and she's kind of like a stripper on the edge of not really knowing where her life's going and what she's doing, and so we just happen to be following her through that particular night, and she kind of just tells lots of surreal stories, some of which I'll probably be doing for you in a bit. And yeah,
no, it sounds amazing, just because there's so many voices. From your point of view, does that make it easier or harder? So say if you're going to be performing for like say an hour, Is it just more interesting to have different voices than just to do one, or does it make it more confusing?
Yeah, definitely for me, I think it's much more interesting to have different voices. I kind of feel like I have seen things where people are just one voice and I thought that they're good, but I also think like it does get a bit boring, and I'd need something else, like music or like something to just come in and go like, "Oh, by the way, you're not that interesting, like shut up and like let another voice be heard." So yeah, makes it easier for me. Yeah,
definitely. And for us when we're listening. Yes. More interesting. Exactly. Yes. That's cool, I like it. And where did the idea come from? Is it from you, or were you sort of, what's it, commissioned?
No, this isn't a commissioned piece, because this is very like something that I've wanted to do for a while. I worked in strip clubs for about 4.5 years, like all through uni. So I've kind of had random bits of receipts and bills and waitress notepads filled with things and observations and sayings and bits of dialogue and stuff that I'd continuously written. That was about 4 years ago. I haven't worked in the strip club for about 4 years now, but kind of just something that I've always wanted to explore poetry wise. And it would get into the point where everything I was writing was about strippers, so I thought, oh, just do the stripper show and then it'll be out of the way and you might actually be able to write about like some normal stuff or something. So yeah,
but I think, I don't know, I've seen you, you do other things as well, like you've got quite, I think you've got a pretty good repertoire of sort of,
yeah, I do other stuff, but it just, I mean, at the time when I decided to do this, it was a time when everything I was writing kind of was, what I wanted to write was coming out, it was about strippers, so I thought this must be the time. I'm getting signs. So yeah,
that's cool.
Hopefully get it out of my system.
Oh yes, and we said when it's going to be, but we'll remind them.
Oh yeah, the 20th to the 23rd, so Wednesday the 20th to Sunday the 23rd of April at New Wimbledon Theatre, as a part of their Fresh Ideas season, so that's very nice of them to host me. And yeah, tickets are on their website, New Wimbledon Theatre.
Oh yes, yeah, so earlier you were saying that Dryce is, it's sort of in your usual style poetically. I was just wondering, and I, sorry for being annoying, but like, so how would you describe your style?
Yeah, good question. that was kind of something that I should know by now, really. But I don't. I guess I'd just describe it as a little bit like the way I talk, but with rhymes. So a lot of people who aren't English, or actually a lot of people who aren't even from London, often can't understand what I'm saying, so I don't know if they would be very happy to hear my poetry. But yeah, it's just quite fast paced and observational, and just always about, like, I like to think that it's got a little bit of a magical realism to it, sometimes a little surreal elements here and there.
Right, and so are there any particular things you, obviously other than the strip things, I'm sure I've seen you do like a mixture of things, so like are there any other like recurring themes, or is it just observations from just life in general?
Yeah, I think so, life in general, and probably recurring themes is nightclubs, nighttime, women. So it kind of all like starts gathering back to the strip club, like some way or another, I suppose, in a way. I feel quite strongly about like representing young women in as many ways as possible in like my creative writing, because it's really easy when I've went to write things a lot to put male protagonists in your writing, because it's almost like what you're so used to. You know, like films and stuff, like if you actually think about how many films there are and how few female characters lead those films without the male like lead being equal or whatever, it's just so few. So kind of just try to readdress that balance by poetry, not film.
I could be wrong. I get the impression whenever I see you perform that you've been doing it for a while, and you're sort of like, I don't say established, that makes it sound like you seem very comfortable on the stage. Is it because you have been doing it a long time, or is it sort of, what, like, I meant to ask, like, is your background sort of in poetry or theatre or something different altogether?
I haven't really been doing it that long. Like the first time I ever performed a poem was like about nearly 2 years ago now, so I guess that is quite long actually. Sure. But I did like theatre at college and stuff, but not really anything. I wasn't really ever like massive on performing, so I'm not really sure. I think it's just because, like, it's just felt so nice to find a scene which like you could write stuff and then you could perform it. So I just got really enthusiastic about it, but I don't think I'd feel comfortable on stage doing anything else. It's just because it's like my poetry and I feel comfortable within that, I think, maybe.
So like before performing, have you just been writing for a long time since then, or did they both sort of happen around the same time?
Well, I did English literature at uni, and then I just kind of left it behind and went into doing politics and stuff like that. And then, I don't know, somehow poetry just kept on knocking. And yeah, I've always written. It's kind of like that cliched answer, like I've written since you could remember, but
Yeah.
that is true. And then, yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think, yeah, a lot of people I meet, they tend to have written for a long time, and then I don't know what, it's not necessarily a sudden thing, but they sort of sometimes, maybe it's accidentally, they start performing and sharing it rather than just, here, read this. It's like actually performing it. And
Yeah.
I mean, I really enjoy it because it's someone, sort of showing you the way as it as they want to as they would do it. And
Yeah, there's
I
definitely like I feel quite annoyed at the distance that's put in between performance poetry, page poetry, short stories, blah blah blah, because I think that a lot of performance poetry it is pretty much short fiction, because it's like if you're doing a 6 minute performance piece, that is almost 10 pages of writing, and 10 pages of writing is a short story, but it's not allowed to be that. It's kind of just given its own thing of like, I don't know, everything's very classified, and I don't think I like it very much. But having said that, everything that I do have very specific, if I write something, I know it's for performance or not. Like, I
yeah.
wouldn't try and perform other stuff that I write, which is so blatantly not to be performed.
Before we do like another poem, my last sort of maybe awkward question is, you have done a couple of slams
Yeah.
in the past. What's your opinion on of them? Are they a good thing or an indifferent thing or just like another thing that happens?
Well, I like them because they make me feel like it's X Factor. And obviously, Simon Cowell, if you're listening, I obviously would like to be an X Factor judge. But seeing as that's probably not going to happen for a while, it's quite nice sometimes to have your like placard and be like, yeah, that's a nine, yeah, that's a six. But it's also a bit horrible when you're actually the person who's getting the card put up to your poem. I think that it's where I started out doing my first performance pieces, and it definitely was great to do it, and probably the most nerve-wracking like way you can start. But a lot of people do, and it's like very open and welcoming kind of scene. But I think now, I don't know if that's what I would say is like the best crowd or scene that I would like to go to. I prefer the more like literary salon things, like book club boutique style stuff now, I think. But yeah, slams are definitely good if you like want to just go and try stuff out.
It's cool. And do you ever perform at things that aren't necessarily just about poetry? Like maybe it's like a like a mixed night.
Yeah, actually, they're really fun. I did one the other week with Holly McNeish and a beatboxer called Reeps, and some dancers and an MC, Inja, and that was really good because it was just all like different types of stuff. I do a lot of things when people are doing music, sometimes comedy. Really difficult because obviously, if it's music, people don't really want to hear a poet stand up and say anything. So you have to like really win them round and like shout really loudly and throw things at them maybe as well. But definitely good practice for other gigs.
Yeah, well, I think that's just why I ask, because I want to know, like, is the audience different? Because they're not all expecting poetry. Someone might be like, oh, we've got to listen to it, and then they're like, oh, actually, so right. So I don't know. Yeah, it's fascinating,
Yeah,
but
it's always satisfying when you know they weren't there for you, but they ended up liking it anyway. So, this one is Nina, the stripper, and she's at work and she's just gone into the floor where everyone is hustling. A young girl leans close to my ear, so I can hear her teenage voice poised with a question. Though there's no question I can answer with this disaster mixtape and now 48. No, playing so loud in the background. So we move round to an empty booth, which we shouldn't do, but I pretend I'm helping her tie up the frayed black ankle ribbon on her too high, too tight shoes. Her legs are porcupined with pinpricks of orange bits, the holes where the stubble grows showing her spray tan. Her hands are small. She's got sovereigns on three fingers, but I don't bother to say I didn't think people wore them anymore. She's got a scar on her cheek like a claw from a bear tore at her flesh, but she shows me her best side and says through lips that men here would tip hundreds to have brought near their dicks. What do these lot want from me? Tell me, because I know you know. I ain't making all that much cash. In fact, I'm losing and it don't feel nice. You've been here enough time. You've got your floor worked out. You've got a circuit no one can touch. You've got... Soft eyes. She had proper soft eyes. I was going to explain that it's not a game with rules like that, babe. You got to find your own way. But for a start, I have something to say that would embarrass your gran. Try and get a real tan. And why don't you take off those rings? Bring in some diamantes, just not on your teeth. And briefs sometimes work better than thongs. I don't know, gives them something to work from. Never tell the truth. They don't want you, they want another one. And besides, they don't deserve it. Stay strong, no matter who tries to stick the finger in your ass mid-dance, and don't suck the manager's cock, because that'll never stop me from having to work weekends anyway. Smile a lot. That's a top tip I can give. Smile no matter what they say. Smile all you can. Someone your age could have them old geezers, the sleazers, eating right out your hand. But I can't. Instead, I turn into the type of client I hate, that never tongue-tied, always in a tie guy, and I say, why don't you leave this place? You've got a gorgeous face. You could go anywhere you wanted. This is it, you know. This is your one life, your one time to make it yours, make it right, make it something that exists for more than a stag night or a bar fight or a tight ass CEO's birthday party. You've got to grab it now, mighty fast, because before you know it, years have passed and life. The one life you get given has shriveled, and the pinnacle of your career has been a twist on the pole, and there's a big hole where so much could have been, and... She leans closer. Sister, I'm all right. I'm studying creative writing at college at night right before I come here. I'm just getting some paper for me and my son before my proper time comes. The soft eyes look me up and down. But what about you? I say, I'm due on stage now, love, but take care. I'll see you around.
What I was going to say. I always ask people about influencers just because it's, again, it's interesting. I'm nosy. I don't know, it's like a dual thing. So what kind of things do you read or have like enjoyed reading? And also maybe just, are there other performers you particularly like?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I kind of just read everything from when I was little, just like used to steal all Danielle Steele books off my mum's shelf, which is maybe why I'm such a raging feminist. Who knows? But nowadays I like to read lots of things. What am I reading at the moment? I'm doing a project, actually, a poetry project at the moment with for the Olympics, where every book that I'm reading a book from every country that's competing in the Olympics, and after that I've read that book, I'm then writing a poem that's inspired from that book. So there's like something ridiculous, like I don't know, 200 and whatever countries in the Olympics, and they're all obviously like mad countries that some of them, you know, probably never heard of, let alone read a book from. So it's a really good challenge, and it's really enjoyable actually as well to do that. And I'd say to any writers who are stuck for writing to definitely start doing that, like when you read something or you go somewhere, just write a poem that just comes from that, and it's come out with some interesting stuff. So yeah, basically just reading lots of mad things. And also last year, I was quite lucky to read books from people that I actually know and have met around the scene. So Afi Mannix, who is a Irish poet and novelist, she wrote a great book called The Heritage of Secrets, which I just read the other day. Very good. Laura Dockrill, who is a performance poet as well. But she's also got a book of short stories called Echoes, and that's probably like one of my favourite books in the whole world ever. And I've got her other book in my bag, Mistakes in the Background, and she's like Roald Dahl but like a girl version, and just I think she might even be better. Nikesh Shukla, he's written a book called Coconut Unlimited, which I read recently as well. I just basically read anything that comes my way, to be honest. I feel like, you know, have you heard of bibliomacy, something like that? Basically, it's like when you think that books come into your world for a reason at a certain time. So I feel like that's quite true for me. So like if somebody says, oh, you should read this, I'll read it like then and there, because I feel like there's a reason why. Yeah, and performer wise, there's just so many people. I perform with a collective called Point Blank Poets, that kind of forms, like, right back in the beginning when I was starting out, and it's people like Deanna Rodger, Dean Attar, Holly McNeish, Shemin Zilliman, Bridget Minimore, like, people, some who are less known and some who are quite known on the, like, performance poetry scene and stuff, but we do a lot of cool stuff. We're going to Morocco in September to represent the UK for UK young artists, and we do lots of mad things for charities and stuff like that. So they all inspire me, and loads of people, really. I couldn't even start to list them all.
Yeah, it's always a mean question. Yeah.
If you go on my Facebook page, though, they're all there. Definitely. I always put their groups up there.
Oh, and they should also do that because all your events are there as
yeah,
well.
Of course they should also do that because all my events are on there, and links to tickets and all that stuff. And, yeah, embarrassing photos and whatever.
There's something for everybody.
Yes. It's all good. Pick a mix.
My link to that, I was just going to say, do you have, although it's probably mean, do you have like a favourite place to perform? Like, I know you mentioned Book Club Boutique, which they don't have, like, I only saw it in Soho, and they had like a really nice venue. It was really cozy and intimate, and it wasn't like, you know, like a big stage or anything. It was just very, I liked it there, but I don't know if they, I know they were touring, I don't know if they sort of settled again.
Yeah, they're in Australia at the moment, so big things. But they generally just find little quirky, eccentric little places in Soho. The last few times I've done it at St Barnabas Church, which was in Soho, which was pretty special. Like, they had movies, black and white movies playing on like the domes of the church and all the candles and stuff, and like Selena Godden, who runs it, is like amazing, so she always makes sure it's a really fun night and stuff. And so really small, like, fun ones like that I like, but then also really enjoyed probably one of my most fun performances last year was Latitude, which was obviously like the complete opposite. It was really huge arena, but that was really, really fun. So
I'm not meant to admit this, but I just remember people at work were talking about Latitude the other day, and they're like, but where does it happen? So where does it happen?
Oh shit, I'm probably not supposed to admit this either, but I really don't know. All I know is that my train took like 5 hours to get there, and we were stuck, and I had to carry a tent, and then I got in a taxi with two mad northerners, and then I got on a coach, so who knows, it could have been anywhere. By the time I ended up there, I was just like, I don't know what's going on.
Maybe
give me some wine.
Yeah. I feel better that it's somewhere remote and not like,
yeah, I think it's in Sussex, not... I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
I'll never get booked again. But tickets are probably on sale soon.
I think so. Yeah, it's that sort of time.
Yeah.
So we're helping. It's going.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I don't know. They were my main sort of questions. So if there's anything that you wanted to tell people about, any, obviously dry ice, but they know about that.
Yep.
Is there anything else happening anytime soon?
Well, on Wednesday the 23rd of February, I'm at Leicester Square Theatre doing some more extracts from Dry Ice, and that's like a cabaret style evening, so there's stand-ups and performance poets and dancers, all sorts of things, and it's kind of interactive-ish in that you, like, I don't know what you do, but you get sheets and you kind of give people feedback at the end, and everyone meets at the bar at the end, and maybe you like cuss the people you didn't like and you kiss the people you did, I don't really know, but anyway, yeah, that will be good. And then the next day, Thursday the 24th of February, I'm doing Farrago, which, like you were talking about earlier, is one of the slam nights, and it's like a big open mic thing. I'm doing a feature there, and kind of people like to go there to start off because it's quite well known, there's always a really big good audience and stuff. And then yeah, just generally doing like lots of theatre projects that are really interesting and great, but I don't have any dates, so yeah, that's again just like on my group page,
which they'll all join.
Yes,
definitely.
Yeah, please do.
If we tell them, they'll do it. It's cool.
So this is one of another extract from Dry Ice, and this is where Nina is at a dinner party, and she's telling stories about a strip club, because when you work at a strip club, everybody wants you to tell stories about it. But she takes it like just a little bit far. Is it real? Isn't it? Who will ever know? If ever there was such a thing as a wholesome stripper, she was it. She had huge tits which wobbled like peach jelly when she walked, and hips that could sink ships with one swift wave of a sachet. But instead, she used them as a mother would, bringing us Earl Grey tea on polished silver tray, and we'd sip it in the changing room from cups that were made of such fine white china that the wilder girls would sometimes try and grind them into lines. She was so kind. The kind of woman who offered us smiles and mints when hearts were sinking with the weight of rejection. Who affectionately rallied us to count the joys of our job as we sobbed, wishing we'd been born boys. We never knew how she made any money. She always seemed so busy treating us to syrupy golden cakes and tea time breaks and fending off the fakes, those of the twats that didn't want to pay, until one day I peeped into the private room, the one where no one except the wholesome one was allowed to go. Peeping through a hole as small as a small toenail, I spied puffed, plush, pillowed points of reference pointing in deference to the middle of the room. And there were no poles, just a stripper shoe on the floor, high-rise plastic soles half-covered in sand, a seaweed-stained hand caressing a greenish, scaly tail. I was trying to understand what the hell was going on. I felt a swell sail up, rise in my tassel-covered tummy, and I turned my head down and around, because I'd never been one for the seaside. The thick smell of the seafloor had always made me feel unclean, and a scar of sand would land me in the shower with a loofah for hours. But now, that scent of picked up pebbles and webbed feet permeated through the very door I stood at, though I was on dry ground. Looking up again, rigid, ready, I couldn't quite believe what I had found.
Right, so, things you need to do. Join Sabrina's Facebook page, because you'll find out all sorts of things. Go to see Dry Ice, which is in April. I've already forgotten the dates, but again, you join the group, you'll know, definitely. If you can't find it, join the Spilt Milk group, which is really easy to find. It's Facebook, the word Spilt Milk, and it's blue, and it's full of goodness. Another thing you should probably know, we've got a new domain and a new website. So if you go to spiltmilkmagazine.com, you'll find us. Issue 5 is going to happen as soon as possible, definitely, hopefully, before the end of February. It's just really slow because WordPress is evil. I mean, I love it, but it's evil. It hates line breaks, and it's just a slow process. And I feel like there's something else I was going to tell you. Yeah, right, next podcast, Katie Bonner. Bonner is back. It's going to be amazing. If you can't wait that long, you can see her and many others at the Poetry, which is the word poet and then the word tree, and it's the Ball and Balls Club. I've probably mentioned this before. It's this Wednesday, so today's Monday. It's happening on Wednesday, really soon. You should go to it, and if you don't live in London, then you're doomed, and I feel sorry for you, but a little bit jealous too, because you've probably got more money in your pocket, to be fair. And yeah, that's all I need to tell you. Yeah, so I'm going to go now because I've got the very last chapter of Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close to read, which has been, you know, good times. And no one's going to top that. I'm having a better evening than you. It's all good. Until next time.